Well, we're looking this morning at the Beatitudes again. We're closing up the last two of them, and they're pretty closely joined together. But in this, we realize a progression is that, you know, you can't really fully experience these last two unless you have the other ones in place, or at least have experienced them and God's working them, you know, about being poor in spirit, meek, hungering and thirsting for righteousness, you know, experiencing God's mercy and being merciful, purity, becoming a peacemaker, because they all prepare you for these last two. They're the culmination. All right, Matthew 5 and verse 10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And so, it's kind of hard to read this and say, wow, a blessing, huh? Blessed are those who are persecuted. Well, I think what the Lord wants to do in these verses is give us a change of perspective. In this life, I don't think there's anyone who says, man, my goal in life is to be persecuted, is for people to hate me. Maybe if you're the Grinch, I don't know. But other than that, that's not really our goal or our desire. But yet, in the kingdom of heaven, there's a blessing that comes with that. There's an honor that comes with experiencing that. You know, in the world, we call it the problem of suffering, right? We look at that as a problem, and no one likes it. We're not trying to seek after it. But yet, we know that there is a suffering and a difficulty that we can experience in this world. But God calls it a blessing when we suffer for His sake, His name's sake. And there's different ways that we do this, and we're going to look at that. But that's something we cannot escape in the Christian message, right? Of one of going through difficulty and at times suffering. God never promised that we wouldn't suffer, right? If we look through Scripture, we can't find that promise. And sometimes, right, well-minded, well-meaning people said, oh, come to Jesus, and he's the God of peace and love, and he'll, you know, give you a great life following him. Well, we have to be careful about that, because how does that work with this verse? Blessed are you when you suffer for Jesus. But God wants to show us that there's value in going through difficult situations for him. And that value goes beyond this life. It goes into the life to come. And that's really what he wants us to see. There's a blessing that goes into eternity for suffering for Christ, for following him and doing his will. Now, we do have to make a distinction, right? Because we need to clarify. It says for righteousness' sake. Because sometimes, raise your hand if you've made a mistake and you've suffered for it, right? I think we could probably have all done that, right? We made a dumb decision and it's like, oh no, now I've got to pay the price for that. Or I said something, or I made a wrong decision and now I've got to live with it. Well, sometimes as Christians, we're not immune from bad decisions, right? We make bad decisions and we have to deal with the consequences and their suffering. Peter talks about that. 1 Peter 4, verse 14 and 15. He says, if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you. Or we should be happy, for the Spirit of glory and God rests upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. But don't let any one of you suffer for your own mistakes, for your own actions. And he brings out some examples as a murderer, as a thief, or as an evildoer, as a busybody. That means someone who just talks about other people's business, right? Or as all the, and you could probably fill in the blank, all the things that we can do in our own wisdom, you know, we can trip ourselves up, and sometimes we suffer for it. That's not the suffering we're looking for that Jesus says, you know, is glorious or goes on into eternity. So we want to watch out for that, right? We don't want to make bad decisions and suffer for it. Well, I'm just suffering for Jesus. No, we're suffering for our own, you know, lack of wisdom. All right, we have to get that out of the way. That's the disclaimer. But in this life, there's a suffering that we go through. Sometimes there are things God wants us to avoid, right? In wisdom, we can avoid that suffering. In fact, I forgot to mention this verse, Proverbs 23 and verse 3. The prudent sees the danger and hides himself. He's protected from that suffering. But the simple go on, and they suffer for it. That's where that kind of suffering comes from. So we want to avoid those things. But then there's a suffering for Christ. Right? There's a suffering for making a stand for righteousness, for following Him. Peter talks about this, and he continues on in 1 Peter 4 and verse 16. He says, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. Let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. All right, we don't want to let shame come in because we're looked down on for being a Christian. And there's plenty of people in the world that will do that. But rather, we want to have the right perspective, the perspective of heaven. Paul said this in Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because it is the power of God unto salvation. And that power will transmit us from this life into the next, and it will be glorious. And so we want to develop this mindset of not being afraid to acknowledge, I'm a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's getting a little more awkward to say that out there these days because the world's getting more and more heathen, isn't it? But we shouldn't be ashamed because there's going to come a day when we awake in a new life, and it's going to be glorious. And those who have rejected the Lord and His ways are going to experience that sorrow. And so we want to have that joy and rejoicing. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it's such an honor and a privilege to be called by the name of Jesus. We don't experience a lot of persecution here in the United States, so it's sometimes hard to relate to this verse. Right, but I've had the privilege of going to India and different places in Asia and so forth, and I'll tell you what, when they become a Christian, let's say there's an Indian who's the first person saved in his family. You know what happens to him when he becomes baptized? They kick him out. They'll usually call the authorities on him, you know, and he loses everything, even sometimes his wife and children and so forth. It's the same in the Middle East, right? When they claim the name of Christ, they lose everything, but yet they gain everything, and they suffer for Him. And, you know, sometimes people in the world have to make that choice. You know, in the U.S., we don't experience it that much, but yet it's getting more and more looked down upon. But as it says in Acts, and I like the way Luke puts this in Acts, it's really the world being upside down. That's how they view things. But we're trying to turn them right side up, right? Through Christ. Christ. And that's what they said. You are those who are turning the world upside down. Really, we're trying to turn it right side up. That's what the Lord is trying to do. He's trying to change our perspective, to give us the perspective of heaven. And so there's suffering for the name of Christ. There's a different aspect of suffering that I want to mention. And this is something that I think we can experience more day to day in our lives, because there's an aspect of suffering where we go through difficulty just because we're following the Lord and we're trying to be faithful to God. God has, you know, given me this calling, or He's asked me to do this, and He's brought me here, and I'm just trying to be faithful to Him. And yet we go through difficulty and we experience hardship. And we don't understand why. And we say, Lord, is there a purpose in this? And He doesn't always answer. He doesn't always share why. You know, we can look at the father of our faith, Abraham. He had great and mighty promises. I'm going to make you a father of a multitude. And his name meant father of nations. But for 25 years, he went on a journey and had no children. No children with his wife, Sarah. And so, you know, I can imagine him going and people saying, what's your name? Abraham. Oh, Abraham, that means father of nations. You must have a lot of kids. Well, no, not exactly. You know, it was a natural difficulty that he had to experience. It wasn't a direct persecution, But it was a difficult path that God was asking him to walk on, a path of suffering, because of what God was calling him to be. And that's why we can respect Father Abraham and what he accomplished. He endured difficulty for a very long time. And we have greatly benefited from that because we're his spiritual children. We're a part of that fulfillment of that promise. You know, I was thinking about the Pastor Tucker and Sister Angeline, and you know, there was a period of time when it seemed like that was like one thing after another with them that they were going through. You know, Pastor Tucker had his heart issues and had surgery and was really knocked out. And then one day they're going to a doctor's appointment, and bam, someone hits their car and totals it. And I can't remember how that was. It a drunk driver? Yeah, a drunk driver just hits them head on. And oh, that's right. Yeah, I don't remember if this is the first time or the second time, but. You know, and then Sister Angeline is hurt and has a lot of injuries, and she's still dealing with them today. And they were sharing this story, and she was saying, "Lord, what is going on? Why did we have to experience that?" And I forever have associated this verse with her because of what she shared. 1 Peter 4 and verse 12, because this is what God responded to her. He said, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened unto you." You know, in this life, at some point, we are all going to experience difficulty. We're all going to experience hardship. Some of it will be more, you know, some people, God's pathway is more intense than others. Thankfully, we're not called to be like Job, right? That was like 110% on the suffering scale. You know, some people are down there, maybe they're 50%, maybe they're 25% or so forth, because everyone is a different pathway. But we're all going to experience difficulty and hardship, and at some point in our life, it's going to be intense. And we can be tempted to say, "Lord, why do I deserve to go through this? Why do I have to experience this difficulty?" And we can think to this reply that the Lord gave, "Think it not strange that this has come upon you." Because God is calling us to walk with him. Now, just because we're a Christian, we're following God, does not exempt us from the fact of suffering. But what we can do is enter into a new covenant with God, where God uses the difficulties, he uses the suffering we experience to meet with him and accomplish something eternally. Accomplish something in our hearts. And this is so wonderfully brought out by the Apostle Paul in Romans 8 and verse 28. And we talked about the goodness of God earlier, but he says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and that are called according to his purpose." All things, all situations. That's a pretty broad statement. There's not a lot that we can experience in our lives that does not fall under the category of all things, right? In fact, I can't think of anything. God can turn it for our good. God is able to do that. Now, those who don't know the Lord, unfortunately, it's just suffering. It's just difficulty until they meet God. Then he takes it and turns it for good. You see, Satan is the author of a lot of that suffering, or of that, you know, he loves to cause and bring suffering into lives of God's creation just to give it to God. You know, "Hey, you created, here's your creation, I'm going to make them miserable in life." But God can take that and turn it into something good, into something wonderful that can bless us and transform us for eternity. We can't always see it. In fact, we seldom understand it. But we can have faith and believe in the goodness of God, that it's something that stretches beyond this life into eternity, so that when we open our eyes in eternity, we're going to say, "Oh, I understand. I see it now." I mentioned perspective. You know, God wants us to gain the perspective of heaven in this life. He wants to encourage us that the things that we can go through have a purpose. We don't always understand it, but we can rejoice in that. 1 Peter 4 and verse 13, he had a lot to say about that. I think he experienced some suffering. Some of it was because of himself, and some of it was because of just following the Lord. But Peter says in 1 Peter 4:13, "But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad with exceeding joy." Now he's kind of giving a scenario of someone arriving in heaven. Isn't that a scenario we want to experience? Now we can get to heaven and say, "Oh, yay, I'm in heaven." But here he's saying, but here's another scenario. You get there, and because you have suffered for Christ, you've walked with him, you glory with exceeding, overabundant joy because you've identified with Christ and his way on this earth and in this life. And see, when we go through difficulty, people might persecute us, or we're going through difficulty just because we're trying to be obedient to God. We seldom understand why. But there's an identification with Christ, because Christ went through great difficulty. Now, there's not a lot written about Christ in his life before he just went out onto the scene of his ministry. But something tells me that his life was not easy. You know, I just kind of imagine that he did not have a great life, but that he went through difficulty and he went through hardship that the scripture doesn't say. Now, don't call that the Gospel of Daniel, but, you know, I imagine that he had a difficult life because the Lord was preparing him for that ministry. And God is calling us to follow him and to walk in his way and to walk on that glorious pathway of righteousness, but sometimes it requires difficulty and suffering. There's nothing that turns our heart to the Lord so quickly as going through a difficult situation. And sometimes that's exactly what we need. If we were just, you know, in an easy situation all the time, isn't it so easy to just forget about God and his ways and just live life? But that would be our eternal destruction. And so at times God has to lead us through difficulty, but he wants to give us his perspective, because he continues on in Matthew 5 and verse 11 with this beatitude of this blessing, and it kind of takes it even to a new level. Matthew 5 verses 11 and 12, "Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they all those who were faithful to me in times past." See, God wants us to see beyond this life, to look into eternity, and to see the joy and rejoicing that comes to those who follow him, who endure the difficulty and the suffering. Because when they arrive in heaven, having suffered for Christ's sake, I think they are going to be greatly admired. You know, I think there's going to be people who are famous in heaven, and the ones who are famous, oh, look at what they suffered for Christ. And they didn't waver. They didn't give up. They didn't take the easier pathway. They followed him. Well, I think it's almost the greatest privilege in the universe to suffer for Christ. Now, it's not like we're going to go out and try and find ways to suffer for him. God will take care of that. We just have to follow him. Luke records this in an even more dramatic way. Luke 6, verses 22 and 23. "Blessed are you when men hate you, and they'll separate you from their company and reproach you and cast you out for the Son of Man's sake." Verse 23, look at what he says. "Rejoice in that day, leap for joy." Now, think about some things in life. What in life would make you leap for joy? Maybe you're a reserved, I'm a pretty reserved person, you know. What would make you leap for joy? I don't know. Maybe if I want a new car or something, or, you know. There's not a lot of things that make you leap for joy, but here's what God says. If we had his perspective, and we could see the joy that's awaiting us if we follow him through difficulty. It says we would literally leap for joy. God wants us to have that perspective. That's what is awaiting us, to leap for joy. Great is your reward in heaven, for in like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. If we could only see through heaven's eyes, we would literally just leap for joy in anticipation of what is awaiting us. There's a story I heard that was kind of amusing. Well, probably not for the guy going through it, but it was a native preacher in Africa. You know, he was committed to the Lord, and he was out preaching, and there were those who were trying to stop him from preaching, and he went to one village, and he started preaching, and the chief of the village had him taken, and they said, beat him for preaching the name of Christ. And they did it. They beat him up. The guy stood up and shook the chief's hand and said, thank you, chief, for the privilege of suffering for you, for Jesus. And the chief said, oh, you want more, eh? So they beat him again. Well, that the second time he got the message and he stayed on his knees and he prayed for them. But yet, he understood something. He understood that perspective. Great is my reward for following the Lord in whatever pathway he would take me. You know, the Lord ordained that situation. But you know what? That village had a true picture, or had a picture of what a true Christian was like. He was willing to suffer for his Lord, so his Lord was worth following. Great is your reward. You know, the Lord wants us to understand there's a reward for following him. In fact, in this Sermon on the Mount, 9 times he brings this out. 9 times. Now, if God repeats something 9 times, he wants us to know it. He wants us to understand it, that there's a reward for following him. In fact, in Scripture, there's different levels of rewards. There's 3 levels it talks about. Specifically, Matthew 10:42. It says, whoever will give even a cup of water in the name of a disciple, in the name of God's people, he will not lose his reward. Even small acts of kindness. You know, just shaking someone's hand or blessing them in the name of Christianity, in the name of Christ, it will not lose the reward. That's why we want to invest in people's lives, because we're investing in eternity. So that was a reward. Now, we just considered a great reward, right? When we suffer for the name of Christ, Jesus said, if you suffer for me, great is your reward. That's a little bit different than, yes, you have a reward for doing good things to people. Jesus says, if you suffer for me, you have a great reward. But you know, there's one more reward that's even better than a great reward. What could be better than a great reward? Well, in Genesis 15 and verse 1, God came to Abraham. And he says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am your shield, your exceeding great reward. That's even better than a great reward. You see, the real reward in all eternity is the Lord himself. As we meet with him, as we follow the Lamb wherever he leads us, he wants to be our reward. And our joy throughout all eternity is just going to be seeing his face. You know, I love reading books on heaven, and there's this one book in particular that kind of brings out how the Lord walks around heaven, and he comes up to people. I mean, it almost seems randomly, but he has his plan, you know, and he greets them, and he says when they see the Lord, the joy that comes upon them is unspeakable. And he comes and he interacts with them and he touches them and he fellowships with them. And then he goes and does it to someone else. And for all eternity, we can have that exceeding great reward. Of course, the Lord is going to fellowship with those who are like him, those who have followed him. And so we want to experience that exceeding great reward. And so what we want to gain from this message, I mean, it's not easy to preach a message on suffering. Right? No, not, I didn't hear too many amens in suffering. No. We want amens for the reward, right? That's what we put our eyes on. But yet, God wants to give us that perspective that it's worth it to follow him through whatever we're going to face. And I have a feeling that, you know, we're going to face some difficulties in the last days and times to come. We see the persecution getting challenging out there. But if we can get that vision of eternity, if that can grip our heart, oh, I want Jesus. I want to please Him. I want the reward of His presence for all eternity. I want to invest myself in doing His will. Abraham endured a lot of hardship for many years. But it says of him in Hebrews, it says that his vision was on an eternal city. It was on a city whose builder and maker is God. And if we can have that vision, it will keep us in life as we go through difficulty, so that we can rejoice and leap for joy because of what God has for us. And Father, we just thank You. Thank You for Your goodness, Lord, that You have a plan and a purpose for us. Lord, thank You that, Lord, even though everyone in life is going to experience difficulty and hardship, Lord, thank You that You are a God who can turn it for good. And so, Lord, we just come. Lord, we recognize that we have to submit our lives to You to experience that goodness. Lord, would You help us even in a new and a fresh way, Lord, to submit to the pathway that You have. Lord, give us Your perspective. Help us to see through heaven's eyes, Lord, that we literally would rejoice and leap for joy as we see and we understand, Lord, the wonderful things You have for us, both now and in eternity. Lord, bless each one, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The Lord bless you.